This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Born October 22nd in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and raised in East L.A., our next guest is a stand-up comedian who has starred on his own Comedy Central show and award-winning comedy specials. You can keep up with his podcast through his website, carlosmencia.com. His latest special, Here I Am, is available on numerous digital outlets. And March 21st through 23rd, you can see him live on stage at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Carlos Mencia.
What in the hell are you doing? You're coming to Kansas City? That I'm so excited about.
Not just that, bro. But last time I was in town, I actually had wrote this joke about, and the punchline is Patrick Mahomes, right?
Right.
But it's a positive joke. And everybody went nuts. And I told them last time I was there, I said, by the way, I hope you guys are ready. Because how many people here think you guys are going to win the Super Bowl? And, you know, it was tepid. It wasn't like too excited. You guys were like, I was like, come on, guys, you're going to win it. I promise you. I feel it this year. So I get to go back, and I recorded the show. So I have it recorded that I actually said you guys are going to win it this year.
See?
So I can't wait to get back, bro. I can't wait because there were a couple of guys that were like, it's not going to happen. And I stayed in touch with them, and they're coming to the show. I don't know which one it is. But I'm definitely making fun of their asses for sure, 100%.
Dude.
So I can't wait to get them. You know what, man? I have changed, and believe it or not, on stage, something really amazing happened.
What? What do you mean?
Recently. So here's what happened, bro. Somebody invited me to an LGBTQ show here in LA.
All right.
And it was a bunch of drag queens and a bunch of LGBTQs and whatever. And it was really, really fun. But here's what happened. In the middle of one of the jokes, one of the gay comedians who was kind of – she called herself a butch – bull dyke lesbian, and she was making fun of a twink and called him the F word. And I remember laughing, and then I stopped laughing and I went, but wait a minute, you know how many jokes I've written that have that punchline, but I can't do that punchline because it's supposedly inappropriate? Why is it okay for them to do these jokes? And then I started studying all the shows that they do, black, you know, black shows where everybody's black. They say the N-word over and over again.
Yeah.
Shows where the Latinos are. We speak Spanish without caring. Shows where Middle Eastern people complain about us calling them terrorists. They call each other terrorists. Asian comedians, when they do impressions of other Asians, they literally squint their eyes more. That's how racist they can get. And I remember thinking, wait a minute. I thought that this whole thing was about us being the same. Right? Like, you know, the Martin Luther King speech. I thought the whole thing was, I want to be treated like everybody else. Not, I want my own little world where gay people can laugh at gay jokes and Latinos can laugh at Latino jokes and Mexicans can laugh at Mexican jokes and black people can laugh at black jokes. And I went, no more. If you come to my show, every single one of those jokes is going to happen whether you like it or not. And if you don't accept, you're a hypocrite. Because what you're basically saying is, if you're not gay, then you're not my equal. And you've been asking for equality, so here it is. Carlos Mencia is now the one person that will give every single person equality when you come to my shows, which means I'm going to make fun of you and of me and of everybody else, and that's it. And since then, bro, everything has changed, man. I've started doing all these jokes about people with disabilities and stories about me hanging out with you know, my friends who have cerebral palsy and stuff.
Listen, you know as well as I do, it's all in its intent, right? The reason you can bust balls with your friends is because your friend, you know, that's my friend. Yeah, you know, it's terrible. You know, my dad passes away. My friend asks me what my mom's doing for D. And it's horrendous. And if a stranger were to ask it, yeah, no, you might get your ass kicked. But if you're friends, and I think that's what it is. You know, like when you go to a show, in a Carlos Mencia show, you know the intent. It's not because you're racist. Jesus Christ, man. You were born in San Pedro Sula. And it's not because you're against anybody. I've known you long enough to know that you don't give a goddamn. You know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you're an adult, do your thing. Hypocrisy pisses you off far more than somebody being different than you.
That's what pissed me off, the hypocrisy of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that if I make fun of my people, it's totally okay. And here's the thing that I also realized, like people that turn comedians specifically, this is with comedians specifically, people who say like, oh, don't go see that guy or try to cancel or whatever version of that, to me, it's like, you are just such a cruel, hateful human being, because at the core of what I do, right? I want to make you know us better than anybody else. You know for a fact that if 10 great comedians are performing in a 2,000-seat theater and you pay one guy in the front row not to laugh and every single comedian gets a standing ovation, we are all going to walk off stage and go, see that one guy that wasn't laughing at any goddamn joke?
Of course.
Every single one of us will do the same thing. Like, that's how much we want to make people laugh. And for somebody to turn that into something evil, I really...
No,
because
of course. Well, listen, it's not a hack joke. Like if there's a joke that involves race, involves sexuality, involves any difference in you and I, it's because it's a great joke, not because it's some hack racist joke. And there's just a huge difference. And again, I think we're both dumber for having to explain that to people. Where you go, listen, I have friends of all different shapes, whatever it is. We're just all different. And will I bust their balls? There's nobody in my real friend circle that doesn't understand that and doesn't also know that I love them with all my heart and there's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for them. But there's nothing. There's no off limits. Goddamn, Nikki. You know Nikki. You've met Nick here on the show. Was in less than 2 weeks after we met her, she discussed that her cousin molested her when she was 5 and fingered her. And that took less than 45 minutes for Greg to produce a parody song to Oh Mickey, the old song that turned out to be Oh Nikki. And I realized when she laughed and she knew we were all friends, everything was going to be just fine.
But exactly. That's what all this stuff is. And ever since then, bro, I have just been just so free on stage. Like I was like I go on stage and I tell people like, but this is true. Listen, I know a lot of girls go down on me in my life, over 1,000, and they haven't all been good.
Hold on, you've gotten over 1,000 girls to go down on you in your life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. At first, when I was at the comedy store, bro, so I was probably doing on average 1.1 or 1.2 a night because
just mouth hugs.
I was working, but I was working, dude. So what happened was girls would come in, right? So there's 3 rooms and some girl would be going to the bathroom and she'd see like Robin Williams on stage in a different room and go, oh, my God, I've always wanted to see Robin Williams. And I would be like, oh, for real? So I'd take her backstage real quick to meet Robin, you know what I mean? Because I was the door guy, and, you know, I know all those guys. And then, on the way back to the room, boom, boom, boom. And then, you know, then I took her back to the original room, and that was it. And, dude, that would happen all the time, bro. So in the beginning, it was crazy like that. But my point is about this canceling thing. I've had that done to me many times. They were never all great. They were not all great. But here's my point. I was always grateful to every single one, even the bad ones. It was just like, oh, thank you for trying. You know what I mean? Even the ones that were fucking weak. You know what I mean? That's the way people should be with comedians.
You're
they should
a Christian.
Be like, oh, you tried. That
You're
was
a Christian.
So sweet.
You're
oh, thank you so much. But I don't get it. And now it's like you can't make fun of stupid and everybody's a whiner. And like, dude, yesterday with my nephew, he's 22 and he started complaining to me. And I said, bro, you keep talking. You're just part of my act now. And he goes, oh, come on, Uncle Carlos, don't put me in my act. I'm going, you're 22 and you're complaining. You have anxiety. I said, what do you have anxiety about? We paid for everything for you, dude. Our generation of parents bought you the Nikes, but you don't know what pro-wings are. You don't know what wearing your sister's Jordache jeans are. My generation couldn't get a loan. Your problem is that you got to pay the loan back. Are you kidding me? These are seriously problems?
Yeah.
This is seriously something you want me to be pissed off about? Like, so now I'm just, you know what's funny, dude? I got off stage the other day, and a really, really good friend of mine, Gabe, looks at me and he goes, dude, you're angry again. And I said, I'm not angry. What are you talking about? He goes, no. On stage, you're angry again. I go, dude, I've always been angry. Like, I've always been frustrated. Like you say, things bother me. And he goes, yeah, but it was light before. I don't know what it is right now. You're back. It's like I'm watching you 15, 20 years ago. And I went, wow, I didn't realize that That's I was nice. Holding back so much all these years, bro. I didn't realize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it happens.
But now
and
that I
we live in this crazy world where there's a, again, I would, and you were the same way. I've known you for so many years, Carlos. We've always punched up, and you've always fought back, and you've always defended the small people who need that help that where others are picking on them. But in the end, jokes are jokes, and that is so different than hate. And again, if I have to explain that to you, then there's no point because you don't want to hear it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, if I have to say that to somebody and go, why, this is a funny joke, and you know it's a funny joke, but you've decided you're going to scream, then just go ahead and scream. I mean, what are you going to do?
But
I mean, there's nothing
the
I can do.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they want, though. You know what I mean? Like this is a true story. I can't tell the whole story. It gets a little crazy, but bottom line is my cousin Benji, who's been in a wheelchair since he was 8 years old, and we're the same age, and I would hang out with him all the time at the hospital when he'd go to the hospitals and stay there for bed sores and scoliosis and whatever, and I started hanging out with all these kids. So when I started doing stand-up, all the kids with cerebral palsy, and if anybody doesn't know cerebral palsy is a neurological disorder, right? It has nothing to do with, you know, your brain and cognitive abilities.
Right.
It's more about twicks and you know, twitches. And anyway, so when I started doing stand-up, I started doing impressions of them around them. I've been doing impressions of them the whole time because we're friends, right? But once I started doing stand-up, they asked me, why don't I do jokes about them on stage? And so I did a Ronald McDonald benefit concert because Ronald McDonald has a school for disabled people. I swear to God, there's a Ronald
idea.
McDonald school. Dude, there is a Ronald McDonald school in East LA for the disabled, and they called me to do a show for the kids with disabilities. And 22 minutes into the show, all the kids with cerebral palsy started calling me the P word, right? You're a B, because I didn't want to do my impression of them, and they made me do an impression of somebody with cerebral palsy in front of 2,000 people at that thing. And just for me to be able to tell that story now and to like legitimately do a real impression. And here's the weird thing. Cause the other day I did an impression. I did the joke and I did an impression of somebody with palsy and somebody, one person clapped. Everybody laughed, but one person clapped. And I went, dude, you're weird. And he goes, what are you talking about? That's one of the greatest impressions I've ever seen. And then everybody got weird about it. And I said, yeah, doing impressions of people with disabilities is the only time you get no credit for the impression. And the better the impression, bro,
that's right,
the more angry people get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
sure.
If I do Bill Cosby and I nail him, people are like, great, Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
But what I did, when I did a really good impression of my buddy Jacob, who has cerebral palsy, they were like, oh, bro, that's not cool. And I was like, but it's a great impression. What are you talking about?
See,
so then I did an impression of Josh Blue, because some people know Josh Blue.
I love Josh. Josh, a great friend.
Yeah, yeah. So this is who I am. So people understand me. This is the first time I met Josh. I'm at there's a basement. Oh, yeah. So it's in Denver Comedy Works on 15th and Larimer. That's where the club is. So I walk downstairs, and I pass by a poster. And I pass it, and then I take two steps back, and I look at somebody that worked there, and I go, is that guy kidding, or does he really have palsy? And he goes, how do you know he has palsy? I go, I hang out with people with disabilities all the time. Does he really have palsy? And they go, yeah, he really does. And I said, bring him to the show, and I want to see him perform. And he came to the show. He killed it, and I brought him on the road. And if you ever have – ask him if he gives credit to me for winning – well, he does. He gives me credit for winning – Last Comic Standing, because all the other comedians were scared because they were doing a big 1,500-seat theater. And I had already taken him and done, like, you know, we'd done like 10,000 seaters together. So he was ready for that. So he was the one comedian that knew how to do that. And so he gives me credit for doing that.
No, absolutely.
Like, Josh, that's why Josh, you know what I'm saying?
Carlos, Josh has told me. Josh hangs out here. When he comes through town, he'll do the show for a couple days. We'll go eat and have dinner, him and his girlfriend and I, and spend time together. And, I mean, all the time. And he absolutely speaks nothing but love and fondness about what you taught him and how early you were in his career.
Oh, that is awesome, dude. And that's what I'm doing now. You know, I'm back, dude. I don't know. I have energy again. I get pissed off when I see things. I tell people, what is wrong with you? You know what I mean? I was at an Arby's the other day, and this guy was mad at me. And I go, dude, why do you have an attitude? And he goes, bro, like, I work at Arby's. I go, I know, but you should be grateful I'm here. Do you realize that I love Arby's? And I've asked my family and friends to eat at Arby's literally hundreds of times, and they've never said yes. And I've never had to wait in line at an Arby's. So could you just be grateful that I'm here? Like, make me feel a little special that I'm the one, because nobody ever woke up and
it's
asked
awful.
Where the meats are.
I hate Arby's. I do. I really don't. I don't like Arby's at all, man. That's absolutely true. What was you talking about the other day? Just, we're all the same, man. We were talking about everybody is the same, and people don't realize it. We're all trying to pull each other apart and find these differences in order to stack up on each other. But the truth is, you've made some great observations. What you were talking about rednecks the other day.
Oh, dude, I Broski, first of all, this is real talk. I love hanging out with rednecks and illegal immigrants, because think about this. In all this cancel culture, in all of this time where people have been complaining, those are the only two groups of people that as a group have never come together and said, you guys went too far with us. You know what I mean? You guys did this. You guys did that. Rednecks are the only people like, and listen to me when I tell you this, bro. And you know, this is true because I've been coming there for a really long time, as I've been going to the South for a really long time. After about 5 years of doing redneck jokes and rednecks laughing, I kind of felt like powerless. Like, wait a minute, how come they can call me, you know, a word and I can get offended, but there's no word for them? And every year since then, bro, when I go to Hoover, Alabama, specifically to perform at the Tsar Dome, I kind of write some joke that's just offensive at this point. I don't even think they're funny, bro. But every time I tell a redneck joke in front of a redneck, they go, well, that's true. And they laugh their asses off. And that's the dude. Other day, wait a minute. This happened. So I was doing a joke this weekend. I was in Chicago, and I was talking about Cicero. Because Cicero is where all the illegal immigrants go to when they first get to Chicago. But then there's another community of people that, of Mexican descent that have been here but kind of made it to middle class, and it's called Elgin. And I did this joke where, and it's true, I have friends that live in, you know, in the illegal alien part.
Right.
But the reason I go there is because they love America. Like, when I go to the middle class neighborhood, it's like, America's broken, America's divided, America's crap, America's falling apart. And then I go hang out with the illegal immigrants, and they're like, America's the greatest country in the world. America is beautiful. And one day, if we work hard, we're going to move out of this place and we're going to live in Elgin. And I'm like, yes, that attitude is amazing. But anyway, I did this joke where I said, look, you don't have to be gay, right, to do a gay joke. And you don't have to be an illegal alien to realize that Mexicans love Toyota Tacomas. And this one guy stood up and he said, that's not true. And an illegal alien stood up and went, yes, it is. We love Toyota Tacoma. And I looked at him and I said, maybe because the word taco is in the back of the truck. And the guy goes, taco ma. And he goes, I love it. It's like more tacos in Spanish, taco ma. And the whole audience started chanting taco ma. And then we just moved on to the next joke. And it was great. I got a bunch of gay dudes also to do this thing, because, you know, so many people come out with this homophobic stuff and whatever, but I had this group of gay guys, and I go, and they had taken some shots, and I had taken some shots, and I go, real talk, guys, real talk. Of the dudes that you with, that you mouth hug or that you give a massage to, how many of those guys are legit heterosexuals that you get just drunk enough to do it? And, bro, the percentages that came out of their mouths, bro, one guy goes, probably about 60 to 70% of the dudes that who are straight up heterosexuals. And I was like, what? And all the guys were like, no. And I'm looking around and all the guys, and I go, you do realize that if we break it up, this whole side of the room has done some massages to dudes. And bro, it was so much. And then he came up, and then somebody yelled out, well, what about you, Carlos? And I don't know that I can tell this story live, but in 1996, somebody that you know as well, Ron Jeremy, introduced me back into the day to a transsexual, and he never told me that she used to be a dude.
Right.
So I have experience with this, bro. Yeah. So, you know, so he was like, would it piss you off? And blah, 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 blah. And I can't get into the story. It's way too graphic.
Yeah.
But I literally tell a story about how I wasn't tricked as much as I wasn't told that she wasn't a dude. And we partied hard, bro. It's a great story. It's one of those moments where I was like, you used to what?
Oh, listen. I'm sorry. I know your voice is really hammering you. I can tell, man. You're not feeling 100%. And not because you're not great, but because I can hear it in your voice. So
I hear you.
Do you have shows this weekend?
I do have shows this weekend, but here's the thing.
I'm not going to hammer you because I know you're coming to Kansas City the next weekend. But I want you to tell that story on the air when you come in the studio.
Okay, you know what? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to write it and figure out how to tell it clean. Because the problem with it is it's not that it's dirty. It's just real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I party with this, you know, with the chick who used to be a dude. I mean, straight up hardcore, real talk.
Is it true? Can they make it feel just like a woman?
Well, that's the thing. See, that's the thing. Like, how do I say it? Here's what it is. There's something different about the vajayjay. And you can feel it immediately.
Oh, see, I was just on mouth hug. I didn't know it went to that far. So they had the surgery.
Oh, no. There's a whole thing. And it's, yeah, whole surgery, whole thing.
Oh, see, they'd gone the full Monty and had the vagina put on.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, yeah. They paid the Chinese guy to put the dynamite and blow the hole. So there's a tunnel.
Oh, no, we're telling the story.
They did the whole thing. But here's the thing. My dilemma was, what do I say? Am I right? Am I wrong? Like, you know, the last thing you want to do is really hurt somebody's feelings who wants to be with you. You know what I'm saying?
Of course not. No. You don't want. No.
But I'm telling you, bro. It's a I'll figure out how to tell the whole story, and get to the end of it. Because at the end, you know what? I'll put it to you this way. I kind of was mad, but not for the reasons that you think.
Right.
And all I had to do, well, because like it's like somebody yelled out, you were with the chick that used to be a dude. And I swear to God, and I kind of meant this. I go, bro, I grew up in the hood, bro. I'm used to rebuilds.
That's
all
weird. That's right.
You know, this is all weird for me. I grew up having a dad who put, this is not a joke, the door from a Toyota Corolla on a Nissan Datsun B210. So that's the family I come from. So you know what I'm saying? With some chick, it's like, I used to be a dude. I'm like, oh, you got a new tranny. Let's try it out.
All right, listen. Next week, if you can come in at whatever day you want to come in, I know that you're doing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. So if you want to roll in Friday morning, if you want to roll in Thursday, you're fine. But you let me know whatever it is. We'll work around your schedule. The show is all yours. You want to do 1 hour? Fine. You want to do 4 hours? You do whatever you want.
No, we'll come in. There's so many stories now, bro. So many. And listen, guys, seriously, get your tickets ahead of time. Like, seriously, this, like, everywhere I go now because of all the stuff that's happening. Word of mouth, the internet is being nice to me again. Just get your tickets, guys. The shows sell out. Like, they're seriously selling out. We'll try to add shows if they sell out quick enough, but hurry up and get your tickets. You have been told.
March 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Comedy Club of Kansas City. Carlos Mencia rolls right back in, carlosmencia.com. We'll talk about everything, the journey. We'll talk about the podcast. We'll talk about what you're doing live here, and we'll get caught up on all of it, man. But rest your voice. I know you got shows this weekend.
A 30 chick on 10-man orgy. That's another story I got for you.
You were one of the 10?
Just wait. I'm one of the 10. Just wait.
Just wait.
All right, all right.
Throw your row.
All right, all right.
And by the way, you are involved in it because in the middle, everybody got a little, not tired of having sex, but it was just a weird thing. And there was lunch meat. And we actually did a Johnny Dare there. Swear to God. Oh, real story. Oh, so hold on. I'll hold on to it for next time. Right. But there you go, Johnny. I'll see you in a week, brother. Love you, man.
Love you. That's the great Carlos Mencia. Oh, stay right there. I told you he'd bring up the lunch meat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.